Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Chav Zayin. We're in Chav Vav Amud Beis towards the bottom of the Amud. An assortment of cases over here to conclude and finish up the first parak of the Masechta. Sorry, I said first. Meant second. Regardless, Amareva. Okay, and we could spend a lot of time in each one of these cases, and you know we are not going to be spending a lot of time in each of these cases, but each one of them is a world unto themselves. Amareva Zarekli Me Rosh Agag. So someone takes a kli. For our purposes right now, let's assume it's his own kli. Rashi says it, and you'll see why in a moment we're going to set it up that way. So he throws his own kli off the top of a roof, and uva achr v'shavro b'makel. And someone's there on the bottom, and so what he's going to do is he's going to, with his baseball bat, he's going to take a swing at it, and he's going to break it. So now, putter, so the person below is going to be putter. Person's going to below be putter my taima. So manatvir tavar. So this is an idea that we already recorded earlier in the Masechta. So over here, manatvir tavar. In other words, what you broke is something which is already broken. In other words, over here, so you don't have to be a Navi. This is simple, right? Simple physics over here that we know the trajectory is such that the kli is going to break. That's obvious. And so over here, basically what we're saying is that what you broke is something which is already broken. I hasn't broken yet. Yeah, but in other words, its trajectory, it's the force, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to break. And so, mana tvira tavra, you broke something which is already broken, and so therefore you are pater. Amar Rabba Zarekli Mirosh Agag. Vayu tachtav karimu ksasos v'acher v'silkan o shikanam v'silkan. So, pater. So, let's say the following, and that is you throw a kli. Now, let's assume this kli that you threw was not yours, it's somebody else's. Okay. And so, and you threw it from Rosh Agag. So you threw it from an elevation. And now it's headed to the floor. It's going to break, right? Not yet. In other words, because what exists below are a soft landing. Pillows, cushions, there's something to soften the blow. So right now, as you throw it off the roof, okay, forget motivation. Right? I know you just asked why he would do such a thing. Regardless of the reasons why. Right now, we're just looking at liability and what liability exists. So so right now, the cushioning is soft on the floor. So what's going to happen is it's going to land on the pillows. It's not going to break. And now what you do is that you go ahead and you remove the pillows from the floor. So over here now, you caused the damage. But let's be clear. You caused the damage. That's what's called grama. So Rabbi says, under those circumstances, pater maitaima be'idna deshanya psuke mafsigire. So over here now, the Gemara is focusing on the Zorek, right? As far as the person who threw it is concerned, so he's going to be potter. Why? Because when he threw it at the time that it left his hands, so the trajectory is that it's going to fall to the earth, but it's going to fall on something soft and something that's going to cushion the landing. Now, somebody else took it away. No. Under those circumstances, that the person took it away himself is going to be potter, but that's not even Rabba's focus. Rabba's focusing on the Zorek. The Zorek is going to be potter. Why? The language of the Gemara, which I'm explaining, is psuke mipaske geira. Literally, your arrow, someone cut off the arrow. Okay, it's an expression, obviously. But what it means is that it shouldn't have broken. In other words, when you sent it in motion at that point, so it shouldn't have broke, the fact that someone removed the pillows afterwards, that is after it left your hands. You can't be held responsible and liable after it left your hands. If at the time when it left your hands, you weren't responsible, you can't subsequently then become responsible. So the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, you're going to be putter. You, the Zarek, are going to be putter. Presumably, the person who also removed the pillows is going to be putter as well, because that's a function of grama. But truth of the matter is that although the Rishonim discusses this at length, the Gemara itself does not discuss that point. Amar Rabba. Zarekina Gemara Shagag Uva'achar V'kiba B'sayif. So somebody throws the baby off the rooftop, somebody below. Now, as the baby is going to head to the ground, and it looks like this impact is going to be lethal towards the infant, and someone on the bottom goes ahead and with a sword executes the baby before it hits the ground. So now, right, it's an incredibly graphic case over here. And by the way, a case coming up in just a moment, which is going to be even more graphic. The Gemara is using this as a platform. The case, right? Don't get sidetracked by the case. The Gemara is just using it as a platform to discuss various concepts. So over here, beplotted the Rabbi Yehuda membesir Rabbanan detanya kavasar bnei Adam basar maklos. So bein bevasachas bein bezachas that kulan piturin. So over here, something that we discussed earlier, and now we get to go over again, and that is that multiple people are beating up one individual. Either they're hitting him simultaneously or hitting him consecutively, sequentially. So kulam peturim, according to the Tanakhama, all of them are going to be pater. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezera Omer, Bezecha Zachar, and Chayav, Mimei Shekirav, Misaso. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezera says that on the sequential case, so then the last person who hits is going to be Chayav because Kirav Misaso. And now plug that into our scenario over here. So basically, I have two people that contributed to the death of this infant that was thrown off the rooftop. And over here, it's sequential. In other words, the one on the top threw him off, and the one on the bottom went ahead and finished off the job. So now, effectively, what we just learned regarding the multiple people who hit one individual, it's the same thing over here. In other words, as long as it's not bevas achas, as long as bezecher zeh, so are we going to be holding the last person liable? So just like we learned in the machlokas regarding the 10 people who hit consecutively, not simultaneously, so the same thing would be true over here. It'd be the same case. Okay, let me make again an obvious point over here. We're pottering, according to Rav Yehuda ben Bezera, we're pottering the first 9 people. It does not mean that the first 9 people, what they did was good. It does not mean what they did is right. It does not, in other words, what they did was wrong and bad. Okay, in other words, let's put it out there because it's obvious. In other words, over here, pater just simply means, are they subject to the death penalty? That's the only thing the Gemara is litigating. And according to Rav Yehuda ben Bezera, no. In other words, and how does Rav Yehuda ben Bezera know that? So it's based on drasha. So the Gemara is not going through it. I know I'm covering these quickly. Again, we could spend so much time in all these cases. We're going to go on. Bashur v'kibol b'kranav. Okay, now we are still by the baby being thrown off the rooftop, and now somebody's animal is down at the floor and goes ahead and gores the baby as it's descending and gores it to death. And this animal was a shor hamuad, has done so repeatedly before. So now the owner of that animal is going to be liable and responsible alt kofer. So now, is there going to be a kofer payment over here? Now, generally speaking, of course there's going to be a kofer payment, meaning if without this unusual scenario where the baby was being thrown off the roof, in other words, your animal, which is a shor hamuad, goes ahead and kills somebody, so you have a kofer payment to pay. That's obvious. But over here, it's complicated by the fact that your animal did gore somebody to death, but somebody who was headed towards their death. Now, the question is, do you pay kofer, yes or no? So, plukta de Rabbi Shimon b'nosher of Yochanan b'roka v'rabbanan. So, this is a machlokas hatanaim. D'tanya v'nasam pidyon hasho. So, d'mei nizak. Rabbi Shimon b'nosher of Yochanan b'roka omer d'mei mazik. Okay. I forgot why, but we touched on this machlokas just yesterday. And so over here, we're seeing the machlokas inside. The Torah says that you're paying kofar. What is kofar? So that is going to be the value of. Now, the value of whom? So the Torah is not clear. The Torah is not clear. The Torah just simply says, devnasam pidyon nafsho. You're going to be paying pidyon nafsho. His pidyon. But the Torah only gives it to us via pronoun. The Torah does not give it to us in terms of clearly labeling whose pidyon. And the Tanaim debate this very issue. On one hand, it could be the Demei Nizak. In other words, you killed him, you have to compensate for that loss of life. Under normal circumstances, by the way, right? He just walked in, he heard me say, you killed him. You didn't kill him, and your animal killed him. But it's your animal that already has done so repeatedly. It's a shor hamuad. So in other words, you're held responsible for that death. And it's the only time in the Torah, in Halacha, where you can pay your way out. So according to one position, you're going to be paying Demei Nizak. In other words, you're assessing his value and compensating his loss. On the other hand, the other position is Demei Mazik. No, what I'm paying over here is my Pidyon Nafsho. Because what I'm doing is that really, be'etzem I'm Chayv Misa, and I'm able to pay my way out of it by paying my value. Good, so it's a Machlokas Tanaim. And the way Rashi presents it over here, how does that plug into this very unusual scenario? So the animal now is falling to his, the baby is falling to his death. The animal below now is goring it before it hits the ground. So now, if I'm going to be paying Demei Nizak, what's the value of the baby? Value of the baby, zero. Why? Because the baby was headed to its death. So then if I'm paying the main nizak, so then it's going to be zero. In other words, there's no kofar payment to pay. On the other hand, if it's the main mazik, so the main mazik, so I'm paying my value. In other words, regardless of the fact that my animal gored an infant that had a zero value, but the Torah's payment of kofar is based on my value, not the value of the victim. Okay, good. That's how Rashi presents it. If you want an interesting twist on this Gemara, see Rabbeinu Chananel right here in our daf, where Rabbeinu Chananel explains the Gemara exactly the opposite. The way we just presented it, otherwise stated, he argues with Rashi. See Rabbeinu Chananel inside. It's really interesting, but we're going to go on. Amar Rabba. Nafam Roshagag v'nitka b'isha chai bar b'dvarim v'yivim talo kana. So again, as I pointed out, these cases are unbelievably graphic and unusual and improbable. Now, over here, improbability is at a really high level, but that's not the point of the Gemara. The Gemara just simply wants to make conceptual points, so therefore, it gives these really unusual cases. A man falls from the roof, and nitka b'isha, lands on a woman, and actually penetrates her as he lands on her. So chai bar b'dvarim. So now he has to pay dal dvarim. So Rashi points out over here, you can be confused. Why is he paying dal dvarim? In other words, he fell off the roof. So falling off the roof, we learned in yesterday's daf that if you do nezik, but you do so unintentionally, of course you pay the actual nezik itself, but you don't pay boshes and ripui and sar and shevis. Right? You don't pay those. And meanwhile, over here, you fell off the roof. You landed on a woman and you're paying the dal dvarim. So Rashi writes over here, I'll tell you the difference. The difference is that over here you fell off the roof. It was a ruach mitsuya, meaning over here it was on your. It wasn't mazid, but Rashi writes over here it's karv lemazid, right? You weren't pushed off the rooftop with this great wind. In other words, it was your incompetency that led you to fall off the roof. So it's not mazid, but it's karv lemazid, and therefore you're going to be paying dal dvarim. Now, in terms of dal dvarim, aren't there five payments when you do bodily damage? Yes, there is. And the Gemara is going to mention that in just a moment. Now, if it happens to be your Yavama, so you're not Kona her. Now, this also is a tremendous Chiddush. Okay, go back to Yavamos. So the Gemara we learned back in Yavamos, in the sixth Perek, that when it comes to the Bia of Yibum, so it does not require Kavana. It does not require Kavana. And over here, so in this unusual, improbable case, so you were with your Yavama without Kavana, so why aren't you Kona? So the Gemara doesn't explain, but Rashi does, and that is that over here, you did not even have any Kavana whatsoever. In other words, you didn't even have Kavana for Bia. In other words, you fell off the roof and happened to land in this very unusual scenario, so you didn't even have Kavana for Bia, meaning the Gemara in Yavama says that you're Kona, you're Yavama, even if it's Bia Shalom B'Kavana, but in other words, but at least you had Kavana for Bia. The fact that it was your Yavama and that you were looking to marry her with this Bia, so that's not necessary. But you have to have Kavana for Bia. Over here, you didn't even have that. We're reading on in the Gemara, Chai Bar B'Dvarim V'Yivimta Lokana. So Yivimta Lokana, I just explained, I paraphrase Rashi. Now, Chai B'Nezik B'Tzar B'Ripo V'Shavas Boshes Lo. Ava Boshes Lo. Now, you don't pay for the embarrassment over here. So because, and here's a rule that we're going to see multiple times in our Masechta. We're seeing it now in Chav Zion, and we're going to see it much later in the Masechta on Pei Vav. And that is, Einu Chayval HaBoshes Aishu Miskavim. Boshes is an exceptional bodily damage payment. When it comes to Boshes, you only pay Boshes only if you were intent on embarrassing. Now, in a moment, by the way, I'm going to tweak that sentence in just a moment. But right now, I'll say it simply. And to be chayv and boshes, you have to be intent on embarrassing. For the other payments that you pay, so you don't have to be intent on causing pain. Meaning as long as you were intentional on doing damage to somebody, so you have to pay. Tsar, ripui, sheves. And again, nezik you're going to be paying regardless of whatever your kavana was. Adamur la'olam, that we learned in yesterday's daf. But in terms of the other payments, at least there has to be some sort of kavana to injure. And when it comes to boshes, there has to be a specific kavana that you want to embarrass the individual. Over here, you fell off the roof, you landed on her awkwardly, to say the very least. So there's no kavana for boshes, therefore you don't pay boshes. So now we are going to change the dynamics of this case just a little bit. So you fell off the roof, beruach she'ena mitzuya. So over here, it's not mezid, it's not even karvel mezid. Right? This unbelievably strong gust of wind pushed you off the roof, and now same thing. You fell on the woman awkwardly, now what? So v'hizik ubiyash chayev al nezik apater bar b'dvarim. So now, you're chayev al nezik, because again, adam ul'olam, but over here, you don't pay any of the other payments. Beruach mitzuya v'hizik ubiyash chayev bar b'dvarim. Upatol aboshes v'im nishapech. Now, one other consideration, says Rabba, and that is nishapech, meaning while you're falling, so what you do now is that you turn your body as you're falling. So now, im nishapech chayev al aboshes, so then you're going to be chayev even on boshes. Detanya, we have a pasuk. So over here, we're quoting in Parshas Kisetze. Normally, I go through all the psukim over here. I'm not going to go through all the psukim. Just know that there's a scenario in which a woman is grabbing a man in his private area in order to stop a fight. Okay? See the psukim inside. If you know them, great. If not, you're probably going to be surprised that the Torah describes such a scenario. So anyway, so Mimashma Shenemar V'shalchi Adam. She sent her hand. So, Ina Yodesh Hechzika, the Torah then says that she grabbed him. In other words, that word Hechzika is superfluous. So, Ma Tamalomar, so Vechzika Lamalacha, Kemshin is Kabin Lahazik, Afa Pishalon is Kabin Labayish. Now, so over here, Chiddush of the Torah, and that is that when it comes to the Busha payment, because the Torah there introduces us to the Busha payment, she obviously embarrassed him by grabbing him in the private area. So over there, the kavana has to be not necessarily for busha. I know just a few minutes earlier today, I said to be chayv and boshes, you have to have kavana for boshes. So we're tweaking it right now. And that is that the kavana is to do damage. As long as your kavana is to do damage, now you're chayv for boshes. Okay, but base minimum is that there has to be chayv for nezek. Meaning you fell off the roof and you landed and you caused damage. There was no kavana to do nezek. There you're not going to be chai for boshes. But as long as there's kavana for nezek, then you're going to be chai for boshes. We're almost done with the second parak. Okay, and I know really unusual cases, and again each one of them could be explored for a long time. And I know I'm going through them rather quickly. Amar Rabbi Hiniach lo gechelas alibo umeis. Okay, so what you do is that you take a coal, a hot flaming coal, and you put it on somebody's chest, and the person dies. So you are going to be putter. And again, over here, putter, clarification. You know what I'm going to say already, but it's okay. I'm going to say it because it needs to be said, and that is they're not going to honor you at the shul dinner. They're not going to give you an aliyah and shul. In other words, putter over here just simply means that you're not liable for the death penalty. You are not a good person. Okay, I hate saying things like that, but you're not. You're a terrible person. So but the only thing the Gemara is litigating over here, this is a legal discussion, a strictly legal discussion in terms of whether or not you're subject to the death penalty. That's the only thing on the table for conversation right now, for discussion. So are you subject to the death penalty? No, you're not. Why? So Rashi over here says so succinctly. You see the Rashi's over here so short. Rashi just gives really short order explanations of all these Gemaras. So Rashi writes over here, Shahayalo Lasalka. Because look, in other words, he has agency. I know what I did is bad. What I did is beyond bad. It's terrible what I did. But in other words, he's not a golem. In other words, he's a human being. So you have something, you have a burning coal on your chest, and you have the opportunity to remove it. So he should have removed it.
Why? Maybe he couldn't do it for whatever reason. He was injured.
The Gemara is holding him accountable for not removing it. It's that simple. Okay. Again, it doesn't make me a good person. I'm still a really bad person. But in other words, but the reason why I'm not Chayv Nisa is because he could have prevented his own death. He should have. Okay. I'm sorry, I lost my spot. Okay, here we go. Gachalas alibo ameis pater. Now, abigo nisraf chayev. Now, contrast that to, let's say I take the coal and put on his clothing. The clothing that he's not wearing. So when I put on his clothing. So now, I'm going to be chayev under those circumstances. Now, amar avatavar taninu. And both of these points we already learned. In other words, I'm going to show you mishnayos that make this point clearly. So Alibo did not. So the first halacha where I take a coal and I put it on his chest, and he didn't remove it and he died. So I am putter from Misa. So didan kavashalav l'sochor l'sochamayim v'nei cholalos misham ameis chayav. So let's say I hold him. I hold the person underwater. This is Mishnah Sanhedrin, right? We did this a long time ago, but okay, closer on the front end than on the back end, right? We just have to get through all three above us, which will take over a year. Okay, but anyway, but you get the point. So so let's say I hold him. I hold the person underneath water and I kill him. So there, I held him underwater. So I'm going to be chayv, meaning that is a capital crime. However, but if I push him to the water, if I push him into a fire and he could have gotten out and he elected not to get out, so now I'm going to be potter. So big though, now, as far as the halacha of beged is concerned, did none. So there we have another Mishnah. Now I say there, by the way, in Sanhedrin, quick correction. It's right here in Baba Kama, but much later in the Masechta, in the Tzadis. So covers Ksusi Shvoris Kadi Chayav. So I'm not liftor pater if I invite somebody to go ahead and destroy my property. So, but I don't write a waiver. I don't sign a waiver. So he has no right to destroy my property. And even though I said, hey, go ahead, destroy my property. So he's going to be liable. On the other hand, if I sign a waiver, he's going to be pater. Okay, that's the, we'll discuss this more in more detail later in the Masechta. But basically, someone goes and destroys my property. So he's going to be chayv to pay. Person puts coals on my clothing and burns my clothing. I could have removed the coal. That's right, but I didn't sign a waiver, so he's going to be liable. Okay, bye, Rabbi. Hinika chalos alev avdo. Okay, so now one more question to finish up the second parak, and that is that I take a coal and put it not on the person but on his eved kanani. So now mahu kegufo dami kamamono dami. So is a guf or is a mamon? So is it going to be like putting it on his body, or is it like putting it on his assets? And Eved Kanani is owned, it's chattel. So over here, how do we judge this? As if I put it on the person's body, which means that, again, he had the agency and he had the responsibility to remove it, or no. Maybe what we do is that we say that really the Eved Kanani vis-a-vis the owner is an asset of the owner. And much like if I destroy his property, I'm going to be chayv. If I destroy his Eved Kanani, I'm also going to be chayv, even though over here, I'm not burning his clothing, I'm burning his Eved Kanani. So, imtim salam rakugufo dami, so sharamahu. Okay, now let's say that it is gufo, so what about his shor? So, avda pashto kigufo, so avda kigufo, and shor kamamono. Okay, so the Gemara over here concludes, and that is that Eved is like guf, meaning, I put a call on the Eved Kanani. So again, the Eved Kanani is a person with agency. He should have removed it. The fact that I killed him, so I'm going to be putter. On the other hand, Shoro, an animal doesn't have agency. There's no Bechir Chavshis when it comes to a shore. Either shore died, I'm going to be fully liable. Okay. Hajalach Ketzad Rego, and that is the end of the second paragraph of the Masechta. Wow, that was a lot of extraordinarily unusual cases. But again, the unusual cases are there just to make points. Okay, but still, those are really unusual cases. We continue. We're now beginning the third parak of the Masechta. And so over here, Baba Kama. So what do you think we're going to be talking about? It's really, really simple. We're going to be talking about damages. It's that simple. So, Pater. So, I take a jug and I put it in the Rishos HaRabim right there in traffic. And now what happens is that somebody comes along, trips over it, breaks it. So the person who trips over and breaks it, he's going to be putter for the damages that he caused. He damaged my jug. Yeah, but I'm the, forgive me for saying this, I'm the moron who put it in the middle of the street. So in other words, that was not his responsibility liability, that's my responsibility liability. So v'im huzak ba, so ba l'chai benizko. And let's compound this point and let's make this point even stronger. Let's say that not only did he break my jug, but in breaking my jug, he actually injured himself in doing so. So now who has to pay the injury? I have to pay his injury. Okay? So in other words, to add insult to injury, or in this case, it's not insult to injury. It's to add more money to injury. So I left the jug in the street. He went ahead and tripped over it and broke it. Number one, he's potter. Number two, if he gets injured, I have to pay for his injuries. And again, because all this is as a result of the fact that what I did was absolutely incorrect. In other words, I took the jug and I put it in the street. And as a result of that, I'm going to be chayev. Okay. Now let's talk Baba Kama, meaning we're learning Baba Kama. Let's talk Baba Kama over here. So when I take a jug and I put it in the street, so what category does that fall under? So that's boor. Okay, so I want to make a clarification because boy, oh boy, was I confused then. And over here, like a little bit of research and I got unconfused. Okay, so let me take you through my confusion. And that is that when damage is done via boor, so what do we know? So we know that boor has got its own category. It's got its own set of rules. So what are the rules of boor? And that is that you're chayv on boor, but you're limited in terms of your chayvus on boor.
Right, not for killing.
That in a moment I'm going to be able to clarify that very point because boy was I confused. In other words, we've seen it before, and we're going to see it again as well. And that is that when it comes to the damages or the death that's caused as a result of boar, so the Chachamim Darshan, we're going to see it in a couple days from now, right? On Chav Ches. Nafal Shama Shur or Chamor. So what happens is that an ox falls into the pit or a donkey falls into the pit. And the drasha is Shur Velo Adam, Chamor Velo Kalim. And then in terms of your liability of a pit, so specifically somebody's animal falls into my pit, I'm liable. Somebody's shor falls in or somebody's chamor falls in. But in other words, but if a person falls in or a kli falls in, somebody else's person. Sorry, wasn't well phrased. Somebody falls into my pit or somebody's kalim falls into my pit. So again, for reasons which I can't articulate why, but it doesn't matter. The drasha is, I'm pater, so I'm going to be exempt. So that's the gemara that we're going to see on Chav Ches. So over here, I'm reading the Mishnah, and boy, am I confused. In other words, what happened is that I left, it's not a pit, it's a jug, but it doesn't matter. Categorically, it's a pit, and I left the jug in the street, and someone trips on it, and he injures himself, so now I have to pay. But wait 1 second, that's a person. So I have to pay his damages? So I got confused. So I got clarified, and now I'm clarifying for everybody. So he quotes a Meiri over here in the Masifta. And the Meiri writes that the exemption of Adam and Kalim when it comes to boor, and let's focus really on Adam. The exemption of Adam is if the person dies. So that's the exemption that we're going to be describing and discussing. But in other words, but Nezik caused by my boor, so that you're going to have to pay under every circumstance. Oh. So it's a good clarification. In other words, so for Nezik of boor, so you're going to be paying even Adam. Good.
Is he paying four categories? Is he paying four categories for a person?
No. No, you only pay Nezik.
So this is a case of a
Good. In other words, but right now, correct. But we're learning Baba Kama. We're talking about now your monetary obligation. Meaning the Yisurim, for sure, you're violating Nisr in the Torah. But we're money. This is a money conversation. So what is my liability? The liability is I have to pay Nezik. I have to pay for the damages. And the point is that once I leave the jug in the street and he trips on it, so number one, if he breaks my jug, he's putter. That's step one. Step number two is if he gets injured, I have to pay for that injury. Okay, good. Those are the two points of the Mishnah. I was just clarifying that I didn't understand why you're paying for injury. In other words, the jug is a pit. Pit your putter from Adam. And good. And I got to clarify that you're not putter from Nezek. Good. So now the first point the Gemara makes, we're starting with the Gemara. So Pasach Bekavisim Bechavis. So over here, did you follow the language of the Mishnah carefully? Right? The Mishnah says Kad. The Mishnah says Chavis. What just happened? We're describing the same instance, the same circumstance. And we call it a jug, and now we're calling it a Chavis. Now, in English, so there are different words to use to describe, but the Gemara is going to clarify in just a moment. Are we talking about the same item? Why would the Mishnah change language? So the Tananami. And before the Gemara answers that question, the Gemara says, oh, by the way, you're going to see this in another Mishnah upcoming. On Lamed Aleph. Zeba Bechavisa Vezeba Bekaraso. So someone's coming with a jug and someone's coming with a beam and a collision occurs. Okay, so just right in a week from now. No, less than a week. So we're going to be talking about what happens with a collision that occurs. Good. Right. So much practical halacha that comes up. I say practical halacha nowadays when we have collisions, so we have insurance. So it's a different world we live in. But so the and Nishbar Kadosh Shozeh Bekaraso Shozeh, so Pater. So again, without going through the details, we're going to go through the details of the case later on when we see the Mishnah. But anyway, but the same point, Pasach v'chav is v'siyim v'kad. So over here, the interchangeable terms of chavis and kad, what's going on? Meaning, if you're going to start off with chavis, stick with the word chavis. Why are you flipping chavis kad? And before the Gemara answers, a third occasion where this occurs, and this is a Mishnah much later on at the end of the Masechta. Tanana mizeba bechavis shoyam v'zeba bekadosh dvash. And nistika chavis shol dvash v'shafach zev v'hitzal shol dvash l'socho. Ein lo elas charo. Okay, if I may, I'm going to excuse myself right now from having to explain the case over here. Case is a little bit complicated, but regardless, the only point the Gemara now wants to make is that, once again, right, we're starting with Chavis, Kad, and then all of a sudden we're flipping, Kad now becomes Chavis, meaning what's happening over there for a third time in the Masechta. So Kad and Chavis are interchangeable terms. So Pasuk B'Kad V'Siyim B'Chavis. So Amar Papa. So in three times in Baba Kama, Kad and Chavis becomes interchangeable. The Mishnayos are clearly trying to make a point. What's the point? The Gemara explains. Amar Papa Hainu Kad Hainu Chavis. So Rav Papa says, you know what the point is? Kad and Chavis are one and the same thing. Okay. Now that needs clarification. Lamai Nafkamina Mecha Chumemka. Now as far as Nafkamina is concerned, so now the Nafkamina would be Amazon. Okay. So what happens is that I order on Amazon. And here I am now, I'm looking at the item's description. It's a kad, okay? And now what happens is that the next day, Amazon makes all this so easily describable. The next day, what happens is that I'm at my front door. I ordered a kad on Amazon, and then lo and behold, in comes the chavis. Okay, now chavis is going to be a little bit bigger. So what do I want to do now? So I want to complain. Right? What happened? I ordered a kad, and meanwhile, I got a chavis. Like, what's going on over here? The seller's crazy. Right? I'm going to give him a bad review. So so what Rav Papa says is that, no, you have no right to do so. In other words, kad and chavis are interchangeable. Now, here, obviously, we need a little more context over here. Hey, chidami. Gemara does exactly that. So the Gemara says, look, if we're living in a community where everybody knows kad and chavis are in two different aisles, right? If I were to go to Home Depot, sorry, I'm now moving metaphors. So if I'm going to go to Home Depot and the kad is in aisle one and the chavis is in aisle two, so then there's no way that this would be an acceptable exchange, right? In other words, I ordered a kad, now somebody sends me a chavis and they're clearly in two different aisles. So then unquestionably, I get to return it and void the sale. So there's nothing to talk about. So lotzricha deruba karle lekad dekad lechavisa chavisa and igadami dekar lechavisa kad lekad dechavisa. So the Gemara says that not everybody goes ahead and separates these two. In other words, sometimes kad can be described as chavis and sometimes chavis can be described as kad. So ma'od detema zil basaruba. So kamash malan de nolchim b'mamon acharov. So the Gemara says, look. Even though the majority of the time they are separated, but sometimes people go ahead and mix and match kad and chavis. So this is such an interesting Gemara over here. And again, this could be discussed at unbelievable length. So over here, consider the following. I made a purchase. I gave somebody money because I thought I bought a kad. And meanwhile, what came in the mail is not a kad, but rather a chavis. Or you could flip that also, by the way. I ordered a chavis and I got a kad. Right? The kad is a little bit smaller than a chavis. Okay, can I now void the sale? Yes or no? So if everybody separates the two, and regardless of what store you go to, they're in two separate aisles, yes, you can void the sale. However, if we live in a community where some people go ahead and call their kad chavis and some people call their chavis kad, and it's just, in other words, it's done not by everybody, not even by most people, but if some people go ahead and mix and match the two, so then I can't void the sale. Why? The Gemara over here gives us a really big principle. Ein hochim b'mamon achar harov. Because when it comes to money, we don't follow rov. Look at Rashi at the top over here. Heichad demistafkalan milsa kigon hacha kigon hamocher shol lechaver v'nimsa nagchan lo armina basaruba zil ulecharisha kind of a havitaus. Rashi over here cites this example. Rashi cites another example. This example is coming up later in the Masechta. And that is what happens is that I buy an ox. Okay. Turned out that ox over there, wild. It's a wild ox. And I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that, and I thought that the ox was like calm and tame. In other words, I bought it for plowing, but I didn't make that point clear. Oh. And so now the seller will say to me, "Enjoy, well, enjoy. This ox is crazy. Well, what do you do?" Seller will sell to me, "Well, I thought you wanted dinner. I thought you just wanted to shecht it." Yeah, but most people are not doing that. Most people are buying an ox for its horsepower. not dinner. So over here, can we void the sale? No, we can't. Even though most of the times the sale is done for horsepower, you can't void the sale. So why not? So Rashi writes, because we have competing concepts over here. On one hand, we can look at Rove, and that is the majority of the time when people buy an ox, it's for its horsepower. The majority of the time when people are buying a cod, they're expecting a cod. That's true. But at the same time, however, what you're trying to do now is you're trying to take money out of my hands. I'm right now holding the money. I'm a muchzak. You want to take money out of my hands? I'm motzi mechavero ala varaya. You need 100% definitive proof that that money doesn't belong to me, but rather belongs to you. We had a sale. You agreed to the sale. And now you're trying to argue, yeah, but that's not what you wanted. You asked for an ox. I gave you an ox. Oh, now you're claiming, but. In other words, so we have two competing values over here. One, on one hand, Rove. Most people are buying ox for its workload. Okay, but on the other hand, we have Amotzi Mechavero Laveraya. You're trying to take money out of my hands, and you're now coming with an argument to take money out of my hand? Look, if I stole the money from you, if I took the money from you, okay, good. Of course I owe it back to you. But we had a sale, and we agreed to the terms. And now afterwards, you're making an argument? No. And of those two competing values, which one is going to win? Hamotzi mechaver ol averaya. That's going to win. That's the principle of Ein Hochin b'mamon acharov.
It's interesting because if this was a case of a neder, then it would go by majority, no? And say kad versus cha.
Okay, good. Right. But again, good. But over here, we have the competing values. Right. We have rov and we have hamotzi mechaver. That's a good question. I don't know. So, but in other words, that's the basic idea over here. And again, all I did is just scratch the surface of this idea. Obviously, you could dig much deeper. We're going to go on, but that's a really big idea in today's daf. Uva achav nitka bo v'shavra pater. Okay, now here we get to our last big discussion for today, and it's a really important topic, and that is: do I need to look where I'm going? Okay, I'm sure you've experienced this, and that is that what just happened over here? You should have looked where you're walking. Okay, and so the question is now, from a liability standpoint, does a person really need to look where he's walking?
Okay. Nobody's
reading the phone. We do say Adamu La'olam, but in other words, Adamu La'olam. But in other words, but if I have right away, so I need to watch every step that I take. Okay, so Phil, your question is excellent, but in other words, there comes a certain point in time where if it's a street and I'm allowed to walk. Okay, so v'achar v'nitka bo v'shavra pater. Amai pater ibaylelu yunem ezal. So the Gemara says, shouldn't we put responsibility on the person walking, and shouldn't we say that he needs to look where he's walking? And why in the Mishnah? In other words, the question is on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're walking in the street, someone left a cot in the street, and you went ahead and you tripped over and you broke it. You're exempt. Why? Because you had right away. Okay, but in other words, shouldn't we just simply say that there's a level of responsibility that you're about to take your next step? Watch where you walk. It's a simple question.
I mean, if it's especially at daytime.
Okay, so let's see. So the Amri debay Rab Mishmei de Rab Bimamale Rishus the Rab Mkula Bechavios. Okay, so Rav gives an unusual case of the Mishnah, exceptional case. And that is that someone blocked the entire street with jugs. We're going to come back to Rav's point in just a moment, right? I'll drop the point, but we're going to come back to it. Shmuel Amar Rabbi Afel Oshana, Shmuel says it happened at night, and Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabbi Karen Zavitz, and Rabbi Yochanan says that you were turning the corner. Now, according to Shmuel, according to Rabbi Yochanan, so what do they do with the Mishnah? So what they do with our Mishnah, Phil did it just a moment earlier, and that is, our Mishnah is talking about a case of real ones. In other words, it was night, I didn't see, Alternatively, I just turned a corner, and how often do accidents happen because you're turning a corner? Okay, in other words, and so therefore, I'm not holding the person responsible for watching where he's walking, because he couldn't see. It was a blind spot, either because it was dark or because it was turning a corner. Ah. So now, Amar Papa lo deka masisin ela o kishmo o kireb Yochanan. Now, Rav Papa says, I prefer these two explanations of Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Look at our Mishnah. Deika Rav Ma'irya nitkal afilu shavar nami. Because according to Rav, what did Rav say? That the person dropping the jugs on, leaving the drugs, leaving the jugs in the street. So according to Rav, so what happened was, is that he totally blocked the street with jugs. If that's really what's happening in our Mishnah, the Mishnah's choice of language is strange. He tripped over the jugs. If someone blocks the street with jugs, you don't have to trip over the jugs to be putter. You can intentionally go ahead and walk over them, step over them. Nobody has the right to block traffic. Somebody did so, it becomes totally his fault. So, but what Rav Papa is observing is that in the Mishnah it says, Nitakel. In other words, you tripped over the jugs. According to Rav, you don't have to trip over the jugs. You can go ahead and you can kick those jugs. I'm Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rav Ahuad den Afilu Shavar. So what Rav Zvid says in the name of Rava, I'm going to defend Rav. You know, our Mishnah is talking about where somebody blocked traffic. And V'hai Diktani Nitzkal. So why would the Mishnah then talk about tripping over the jugs when the Huad din, the same halacha would be true, even if he kicked the jugs, broke it deliberately. I did the by the mister safely. Im huzak ba bal chav is chayev. Benisko dafka nitzkal aval shaver lo. My time who does it anaf shei. So katani reisha nitzkal. Oh. Rav Papa says beautifully. Sorry, I said Rav Papa. I meant Rava. Rava says beautifully. And that is that in the case of the Mishnah talks about tripping because, let's go to the next point of the Mishnah. The next point of the Mishnah is that if you trip and break the jugs, you don't have to pay for the jugs you broke. Good. But now point number two of the Mishnah. What if you get injured? So now he has to pay your medical bills. Oh. Even if he were to block traffic in the street, if you now intentionally break the jugs, you have every right to do so. Nobody has the right to block traffic. But if you go ahead now and intentionally break the jugs, and in doing so, you get injured, he doesn't. That's you. That's a you issue. He doesn't have to pay your medical bills. If you trip over the jug and get injured, so then he has to pay your medical bills. But if you intentionally, even though this, and I know this is an interesting point, even though you had the right to break the jugs, but you intentionally break the jugs and in doing so you get injured, now he doesn't have to pay your medical bills. That's why the Mishnah gives the example of Nitkal. Okay.
It was in his way. He couldn't.
Good. So good.
They broke it.
Good. And he had the right to do so.
Still broke it, so it can go by.
Good. Perfect. But in other words, no. But if you get injured while breaking somebody's property and you're doing so, even though you have the right to do so, I know it's an interesting point. I know it is. You have the right to do so, but when you get injured under those circumstances, you have to pay. He doesn't have to pay for your injury. Okay. So now, Amalei Rabbi Abba Rav Ashi Hachi Amrei Bemarav Mishmei De Rabbi Ula Lefisha In Darkan Shol Ben Adam Lizbonim Bedrachim. When faced with the same dilemma that we just raised in the Mishnah, meaning how do you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah is talking about you tripping on something and not being responsible. Shouldn't you look where you're walking? So again, in our Talmud, the Talmud Bavli, so Shmuel and Rav Yochanan said, well, it was dark. Well, he turned a corner. In other words, it was Onis. Granted, Rav didn't go that with that approach. But in other words, but the majority of Amoraim, I say majority, two out of three, the majority of Amoraim say that our Mishnah is talking about a case where you couldn't see where you were going. But in Eretz Yisrael, they give a much more fundamental approach, which is no. Ein darker shal b'nei adam lizbonin b'derachim. Nah. In other words, we said, shouldn't you look where you're walking? And in Eretz Yisrael, they gave a yesod, and that is, no. If you're walking in the street, you don't have to look down and watch every step that you take. And you're not going to be held liable if you go ahead and you step on something and you break something, because ein darker shal adam. It's not an expectation that someone needs to look and analyze every step that they take.
Well, you walk an angle with a sidewalk, you have to, because the trees, you know, some places it raises a little bit.
Okay, good.
And if you don't watch it, you trip.
Good. So, but the point is that when you damage other people's property, so then you don't have to pay. I mean, that's the point of the Mishnah. So over here, what we're looking at is a really fundamental machlokas between the Amoraim in Bavel and the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael as to whether or not you are going to be held accountable for steps that you take anywhere. Now, when I say anywhere, I'm talking about where you have the right to walk. So you're in the street and now you're walking and you break somebody's property. So the Amoraim of Bavel say that if it's broad daylight and you could have seen where you were going, you're going to be held liable. That's Shmuel. That's Rav Yochanan. Okay, good. Point well taken, but we're talking about Rishus Rabin. But point well taken. And according to Eretz Yisrael, the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to be held liable. It's light. Yeah, I know, but ain dark and shall adam lis bonain. But you don't have to analyze every step that you take. Okay, so where are we right now? Major machlokas in terms of when walking, are you held liable and accountable for things you step and break on other people's property while you're walking? Very, very fundamental. So, havuv de benarda v'chayv Shmuel v'pumbadisa v'chayv Rava. So, incidents where people broke while they were walking other people's property. So, the one case in Naharda, Shmuel says v'chayv. One case in Pumbadisa, Rava says v'chayv. Now, bishlam Shmuel b'kishmaite. Now, we expect the Shmuel to say v'chayv because remember how Shmuel learned our Mishnah? Our Mishnah that says that your patur. Shmuel says, yeah, that was talking about at night. Okay. So, the... Shmuel's psak, I totally anticipated. Mm-hmm. Rava, well, the Gemara says Rava says you're chayav. So Ella Rava lemuk Shmuel severely. So maybe Rava holds like Shmuel. So Amra Papa Karna Datsra Have Kevin de Brishus Kavdi by Leluyune Mezel. So Rav Papa says we don't have to necessarily say that Rava holds like Shmuel. What we could say is that the case was a unusual case. There was a line out the door, right? Karna da'atzrei have. Rashi over here goes to the details. Basically, right, there was a line to fill up your jugs with oil. Okay, anyway, we're by the olive press. Anyway, the line goes out the door. Everybody knows that the line goes out the door. And so therefore, everyone's leaving their jugs where the line is. So therefore, everyone, and you have the right to do so. And now somebody goes ahead and trips over that, and that should have been expected. In other words, because in this scenario where there's a line going out the door and everybody knows it and everyone's expecting it, so it's not something that is unexpected. It was something that was expected, avoidable. You should have avoided it. Okay. So in other words, it's an ukimta. Shach le Rav Chisel Rav Nachman Hari Amru le Rechuva Shal Shlo Biyuta Chamesh and le Sin Koresh Shalosh Esrei. Gemara is going to take us on a really short tangent. We're going to do it because we have the time and let's finish the daf. And that is that let's say you go ahead and you hit somebody. So when you hit somebody, so you have to pay for Nezik and you have to pay for Tsar, Boshes, I wanted to say Boshes for last. Let me do that again. You hit somebody and you cause damage. You have to pay for the Nezik. You have to pay for the Tsar. You have to pay for the pain, Shevis Ripui, right? Disability and medical bills. And you have to pay for Boshes. There we go. So you have to pay for boshes. Now, boshes, you have to pay for embarrassment. That's a nondescript payment. I mean, it's very clear. In other words, you embarrass somebody and the Torah expects you to pay for that embarrassment. But how do you assess? The answer is that there's a menu. In other words, the Chachamim came up with numbers. The Torah says you have to pay. And the Chachamim assign numbers. They have to. In other words, otherwise, how do you know how much to pay? Right? In our American legal system, so in other words, right, for psychological damage, so the court's going to have to make up a number. They do. So over here, so the Chachamim, so they came up with a number, and the number is going to be a function of how much embarrassment did the person endure. So if the person kicked somebody in the shin 3 salayim, libiita, if he kicks him with the bottom of his foot 5, and if he uses the saddle of a donkey to hit somebody, so now it's going to be 13. Okay, I'm not I don't fully know what it is that one is more embarrassing than the other. You know, it's just by way of analogy, right? Slapping somebody with the back of your hand, right? That's a real dismissal, yeah, right? That's a real affront. Okay, so bizman ha-gemara, so they had this kind of idea. Anyway, lepana damara ulukipina damara mai. So now let's say you hit somebody with a shovel. So what kind of embarrassment are we looking at over there? So shakli chista kanasa kamagbiz bebavol emily gufaduvde chavde. So now Rav Nachman says to Rav Chista, like, what is happening right now? In other words, you're asking about how much bosha should be paid. In other words, wait one second. We don't collect kanas in bavol. It's a funny expression over here. We don't collect kanas in bavol. Over here, it's just kanas. It's boshas, right? Boshas is monetary payment. Why is it called kanas? Okay, it's what I just raised is a good question. But for our purposes right now, Rav Nachman says to Rav Chista, these are things that we don't collect in bavol. So shalach le dahu gorgisa de betray. So he says, okay, well, let me give you the details of what happened. Okay, this particular case under review is that there were two people who shared a pit, and their agreement, the terms of the agreement, was that I'm going to use it every other day. You'll use it. I'll use it every even day. You'll use it every odd day. Good. Those were the terms of the agreement. And along comes Mr. Even and elects to now go on an odd day and collect water from the pit. Mr. Even says to Mr. Odd, wait one second. It's not your day, it's my day. And Mr. Odd, what can I tell you? He's odd. And Mr. Odd says, don't care. Mr. Even says, you don't care. How about this? And he takes out a shovel and hits him. Okay? Mm-hmm. That was the case. So Amr Leiser, Rav Nachman says to Rav Chista, mea pande bepadna lemichye. So Rav Nachman says, and now what are you going to do? You're going to adjudicate that case? What's it called? You should encourage him. In other words, Mr. Even is in the right. In other words, it was the terms of the agreement. It was his day. Mr. Odd is coming now on a day that is clearly not his. Defiant, Mr. Even now has every right to go ahead and say, hey, it's not your day. You get out of my pit today, and right, it's my pit. I'm collecting the water today. Oh, you're going to be difficult. Okay, watch. I'm going to be difficult as well. So the and the Gemara says, and I know, are you allowed to take the laws into your own hand? This is a topic of discussion tomorrow morning. This is where we're going to start, whether or not you're allowed to take the laws in your own hand. And the Gemara says, and look. That is a topic of discussion. Not when you're suffering an actual loss. If there is real loss present right there, and what are we going to do? We're going to go to court? Okay, that's great. You know how long the courts take? Right now, he's taking my water. Everyone will agree that Pseida, if we're talking about real loss that's occurring right now, and he's in the wrong and I'm in the right, you can do whatever you want. Right? Go ahead, hit him. Okay.
Stopping the laws from occurring.
Right? Correct. Perfect. Perfect. Good. Okay, we're going to stop over here tomorrow. Itmar. We're going to continue this discussion tomorrow. That's a
different problem.
We're not talking about killing him. We're talking about stopping him.
He gives it one shot.
Okay, so let's quickly recap. Let's review. We ended the second parak of the Masechta today, and we went over a number of unbelievably unusual cases. But again, there's various points that Gemara wants to make regarding liability, death, and multiple parties responsible. Okay, what could I tell you? That's all I'm going to say regarding the first half of today's daf in summary. Really, you just have to go over all these cases. There's too much information in the first half of today's daf to succinctly go over in summary. Okay, but then we start the third parak of the Masechta. Okay, unbelievable. We just started, and here we are in Chaf Zayin. Started. Okay. Oh no, they're right. It's 8:00. Okay, good. And we started the third parak of the Masechta, and so we talked about somebody leaving a bor b'rishus harabim, but not a pit, but in other words, a jug, and you go ahead and trip on it and you break it. So you're going to be exempt. Why? Because that's bor b'rishus harabim. And what if you get injured? So he has to pay now your medical bills. Good. So that's what the Mishnah made. And then, right, a lot of discussions regarding, first of all, Amazon, and I buy a jug, and I get a chavis, and can I go ahead and void the sale if it's clear that it was it's not what I ordered? So then, of course, I can void the sale. But what if some people go ahead and mix and match these two products? So can I void the sale then? The answer is no. Ein hochim b'mamon achar rov. That's a big takeaway point from today's daf. And then the other takeaway point from today's daf, two more points to make in terms of summary. One, am I expected to look where I'm walking? Major machlokus amongst the Amorayim in terms of whether or not I have the financial responsibility, liability to watch every step that I take in the Rishos HaRabim. Shmuel, Rav Yochanan says, yes, you're responsible. And meanwhile, the Amorayim and Veritas all say, no, you're not responsible. Major machlokus. And the last point that we had under consideration for today is what happens now if somebody's causing you a real present loss? Can you take the laws into your own hand? The answer is unequivocal. Says Rav Nachman, the answer is yes.